On the line, we are joined by Professor Eitan Gilbai, who is a professor at the Bar-Ilan and Rahman Universities. Good afternoon, Professor. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Professor. So we're going to get straight into it, Professor. And I see that on my notes here. It says that Israel has opened its first embassy in Fiji. Now, other than the goal for Vijay Singh and having rugby players that are 7 foot tall, why is this a significant move for Israel and Fiji?
Oh, I didn't hear you well. Can you repeat the question, please?
My question is, Prof, is that I see that, the first embassy has Israeli embassy has opened in Fiji, which is not a powerhouse in terms of world politics, but it is a significant country for many other things in the world. Why is this something that is important?
This is a very good question. I think the reason for that is simply we don't have many friends in the world today.
Interesting.
And Fiji is a good friend. And they contribute soldiers to peace operations, UN peace operations. And they have a vote at the hostile United Nations. They may move their embassy to Jerusalem. So we have a number of reasons for doing it. Had I been the foreign minister, perhaps I would not do that.
Got you, Prof. Thank
but
you.
I'm not the foreign minister.
Not at the moment, and who knows what the future might hold. So, Professor, we spoke a little bit earlier in the show about a conversation that took place between President Donald Trump and Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu. And it sounds like the conversation that they had had a lot of strong language and might have caused and might have had a lot of tension in it. Is there something for us to worry about there? And is the future of that relationship potentially on the rocks?
I would not go that far.
Okay.
But there's the conversation. The conversation yesterday was difficult because it exposes different set of interests. Very, very close cooperation has been achieved between the military of the United States and Israel.
Got you.
But on political, diplomatic issues, this is a somewhat different story. But what is happening in Lebanon doesn't make any sense. Hezbollah is attacking Israeli civilians and civilian towns and villages on a daily basis with all kinds of weapons. And also Israeli soldiers in South Lebanon, an area, a security area taken by Israel to protect the Israeli villages and towns close to the border. These towns and villages were easy targets for Hezbollah. They would fire at houses and factories and supermarkets and centers, business centers, at will. So it doesn't make any sense to go back to that situation again. Now, Trump demanded from Israel to refrain from attacking Hezbollah military headquarters in the neighborhood of Dahya in Beirut. And the reason for that is Iran's threat or Iran's demand that Trump prevent Israel from doing so. Otherwise, they threaten, number one, to suspend the negotiations, to stop the negotiations, and also to use force to launch missiles at northern Israel. So Trump does not want to go back to war.
Sure.
Not a few days before the opening of the Mondial.
Okay.
And although the negotiations with Iran go nowhere, Trump repeatedly says that Iran has accepted the American main conditions, but Iran denies it all the time. So you don't know who is telling the truth. And I suspect that there's a broken communication channels between the United States and Iran, and also between the United States and Hezbollah. Just to give you an example, what was happening in the last 24 hours. You see, the United States officials were speaking to Nabi Berri. Nabi Berri is the Shiite leader of Al Amal. This is another Shiite movement in Lebanon, supporting and coordinating with Hezbollah. And so Nabi Berri says, I am prepared to obtain a ceasefire from Hezbollah, providing that Israel also sees attacking Hezbollah targets. So, and you never know if this is the case. So all kinds of mediators are participating and exchange messages. And I don't know, I never trust somebody like Berri, who has an interest and close relations with Hezbollah. And after about four weeks of a broken ceasefire,
sure.
It was never a ceasefire.
Yeah.
So Trump said a few days ago, oh, we are extending the ceasefire for 45 days. What a joke. This was a joke.
So, Prof,
because it was never a ceasefire. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to, thank you for that. And you know, I just want to, because we're running a little bit short on time, and our last topic I want to ask you, and it's a very, very important one. So just moving away from Hezbollah and Lebanon and what's going on there, let's just focus on, I watched a couple of videos today about some protests from the ultra-Orthodox Haredi community and roadblocks and quite aggressive protesting going on about being drafted into the IDF. What's happening there on the ground, and should we be worried about what could potentially, you know, snowball from these protests?
So first of all, we need to clarify the reason for those protests.
Sure.
So this is the story. Police accidentally stops a car, say, for a traffic violation.
Right.
And the person behind the wheels, who is someone who has not reported to military service.
Okay.
So according to the rules, they have to arrest him and hand him over to military police.
Okay. Okay.
So this is exactly what happened just the other day.
Oh, okay.
And so, and there were some arrests of deserters, and so the more extreme elements in the Orthodox Haredi groups and movements and parties, they have been protesting those arrests, and they have been aggressively closing roads and even train transportation between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem was disrupted. So major protests. And I think it has also to be placed in the context of proposed legislation,
right,
to exempt Haredi from military service. This is ridiculous. Since October 7, everybody has to give a hand, and they are refusing to do so, even for those who are not really studying the Torah day in and day out.
Interesting.
There are many like that who are not capable, don't want to, are bored in yeshivot, but they are not drafted as well.
Right.
So a compromise could have reached, and there were a number of ideas, such as allowing, say, I don't know, a number of Haredi to people who are interested and are capable of studying all day long in yeshivot, studying Torah, fine. But then the rest of them, thousands of the rest of them, should go to the military and also work. They right. should work. They yes. should add to the working force of Israel. They don't do that. And they marry, and their wives are working. And so the Netanyahu government has responded favorably and positively to all the demands coming from the Haredi parties. This is shameful. This is going to be a major issue in the forthcoming elections coming. We don't know yet, September Let's or October. See how that pans out. There's a whole debate about it. But this is going to be a major issue. So the military simply needs more soldiers.
So, Prof, I think that topic in itself is something we need to bring you back on, and we can discuss in far more detail and unpack it further. But unfortunately, right. that's all we have time for today. And okay. I want to just thank you very, very much for your time and for your insights, which are always very, very insightful. And thank you very, very much for your time. That, ladies and gentlemen, was Professor Eitan Gilbay, who is a professor at the University of Bar-Ilan and Rahman University as well.